like to come to the Poel Mamish. Chazal say, Eze uchacham haroya sanilud. Rabbi Sternberg spoke about many situations where the problem already existed. But in addition to that, and before that, we have to see to it that the problem should not be there in the first place. We ask the Eibishter al tevienel de nisoyin, that we shouldn't come to a situation of nisoyin. Before this event, I spoke to all of our rabbonim to hear from them hadracha exactly what our approach to the internet should be. And peh echad, they all gave the same direction. And I'm going to enumerate them to you, what these instructions are, what each and every one of us should apply in our own home. Number one, the ideal choice, the ideal option is, take the internet out of your home. If you need it for work, keep it at work. Don't bring it into the home. Perhaps if there would be enough of a demand for it, internet cafes would be open on Kingston Avenue with enough computers and proper hashkocha that everything should be done in the best possible way, as has already been done in some other communities. Number two, if for whatever reason you must have it at home, keep it away from your children. Explain to them that internet is for work only and not for leisure. And set an example yourself. You can explain to them that just as we visit less than ideal places for business matters, we go to Manhattan if we need to do business, but we don't go there just stam to spend time. Similarly, the internet, being a less than ideal place, is somewhere we may go to do business when necessary, but not a place to stam spend time. Third choice. If you're in a situation where your children are already used to the internet and you have older children that you are not able to take them away from the internet, and as many rabbanim and the professionals say that once they are connected to the internet, it may not be a good idea to take them away from it because they may go to other places and other options where there is no hadracha at all. Explain to them the dangers of the internet and take the following steps. Number one, set up a filtering system. As Mr. Tabby will soon explain to us, the different options that we have, the filters. It's a very simple thing to set up. There are those that can help you set it up. Number two is a monitoring system. Besides a filter, which can be bypassed with a little bit of computer knowledge, a monitoring system will keep a record of every single thing done on the computer. And this record should be sent for the children. It can be looked up by the parents. And for ourselves, it can be sent to a chaver, a mashpia, or a rov. Number three, the computer should be placed in a central room where the internet usage is easily viewable. Just as there is yichud, chazal or mesak in the iser yichud, similar approach should be used with the computer. And the fourth aspect is to set limits for our children according to the standards of our home. Just as we set limits in other areas, we have to know what those limits are and we have to set them for our children. We should scrutinize and check everything before we allow our children to use it. Since each home is different, it is extremely important to take the advice of a Rav or Mashpia who is familiar with these inyanim and to find a solution for their specific situation. Our next speaker, the last speaker, will be speak a short presentation on the details of filtering and monitoring systems that give us Poel Mamish exactly how to do it. Mr. Yisrael Tabi is the Chief Technology Officer at the RTO Group. He has dedicated his time, given his time to us tonight to direct us in the protection that we should use for the internet. Thank you very much for coming. Sit down.
I just want to reiterate what Robert Torsky said. I cannot offer you a solution of A, B, C, or D. There's no solution where I'm going to give you now and you're going to go home, spend an hour, 2 hours, and the crisis is over. There is no such thing. There's going to be, this is preventatives. You're going to have ideas here of how to safeguard your computer and how to protect your kids, but this is not a means to an end. Now, the first question is, how can a child get on the internet? Most of us don't even realize it's not just, most of us think that it's just your computer. First of all, it's not. A lot of children today have iPod Touch, has Wi-Fi. Those of you who don't know what Wi-Fi is a means to connect to your internet, whether it's at Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, you name it. Almost anywhere you walk today, there's a free connection to internet. No password. So if your child has an iPod, I don't know how many, but if your child has an iPod Touch, he can merrily walk into a Starbucks, sit down, connect to the internet, and he's there. He's golden. He has whatever he wants. So the first way is, as we know, is computers and laptops in your home or your friend's home. The second, a child can go to the library. With a simple library card, he can make a reservation, sit down for 30 minutes, a little longer, so forth. Stores, like I just mentioned, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, free Wi-Fi locations, almost anywhere today, literally, you have a free Wi-Fi hotspot. If you get an old cell phone, like a BlackBerry, or any old phone that was within 1 or 2 years, it's guaranteed to have Wi-Fi on it. Almost guaranteed to have Wi-Fi on it. And if your old child begs you, can have your old phone, and I just want to play games in it, I just want to do this, I just want to do that, it doesn't work, deactivate it, it's not true, it has Wi-Fi on it, whether you're paying monthly service, whether you're not paying monthly service, whether it's just sitting and it looks half broken, it's not, it has Wi-Fi on it, your child can access internet on that old phone with any means of any hotspot. So your old phone is not necessarily garbage and usable by your kid. It can be garbage, but it's not necessarily something that your child can just have to play games. You can get on the internet with it. Again, whether you have service or whether you don't have service, he has access to the internet. An iPod Touch, like I said, is the most popular device today. Almost every single child today has an iPod Nano, an iPod Touch, a PSP, a 3DS, which is the new Game Boy generation, an Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo Wii, PSP. Any of these devices all have Wi-Fi and a child can connect to the internet. So you may think he's playing a video game, a racing game, in your basement with a large screen or a small screen with an Xbox, with a PSP, with a Nintendo Wii, with a Play, you name it, any of these gaming devices, they have either an Ethernet built into it or Wi-Fi, which is the same thing equivalent to having an internet connection. It has a browser, the child can get onto the internet, and there's absolutely no filtering available for these devices. Well, an iPod Touch there is, but a PSP, a 3DS, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo Wii, which is most likely in your basement, in your house, or in your child's bedroom, has an internet connection on it, and your child can get on the internet, and there's absolutely no means to get around that and to prevent it. So, but again, iPod Touch, which we'll elaborate more on, does have a solution to it. An iPod, an iPad, a tablet, those are all the same category. We will enumerate on that further on. But if you have any video game devices, or if your child wants one, attend the Wii, you better give it a second thought. There is no solution to it, at least not at the current time. These are what it looks like, in case you're not sure. That's an iPod Touch. I'm sure you've all seen it. If you haven't, this is what it looks like. If your child has it, he has Wi-Fi, he has internet. If your child has this, it's a PSP, he has Wi-Fi, he has internet. And you may think that, oh, well, I don't have Wi-Fi in my house, so my child doesn't go to Starbucks, there's no Starbucks nearby. But if you live in an apartment building, or if you live in your own house, most likely your neighbor has Wi-Fi, most likely he has no password, and most likely your child is on the internet. Again, he can do whatever he so chooses. Now, that's a PlayStation, Nintendo Wii, an Xbox, and so forth. Now, most cell phones today, regular cell phones even, that you get for your child, require a data plan by the carrier, such as Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile. So your child, you could be getting a plain flip phone or a plain slider phone, such as an LG Rumor, an LG Touch, and so forth. These popular cell phones that are standard in today's generation require a data package by the company. In that circle, maybe too far, too small, but it says there clearly you have to pay for a data package. You probably don't realize they just throw it in the bill there, an extra $10, and you're just wondering how that $10 got there. Well, that's the reason why the $10 is there, and they kind of just suck it in there without even noticing it. And there is a way around that. There is no filter. There is no filter, but there's a way around it. You can simply call your carrier, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, AT&T, and so forth, and you can request a data block on your child's phone or children's phones if you have several of them. That is the solution to get around that. This is a similar also phone. These are all plain, regular phones that your child most likely has today. And believe it or not, your child has access to the internet and is on the internet most likely. So the question is, what can you do? So like I said, like Dr. Tversky mentioned and many other people before us, there is no cure to this. There is no disease. There's no way around it. You're not going to get away with it. There is no solution to it. The only option for you is, the best call of action, is to learn what this is all about. What is this internet? What can my child do with it? What can I do to get around it? And become as proficient as possible in this. Whether it's on the internet, whether it's on the cell phone, whether it's on his gaming device. If your child requests tomorrow an iPod or a new device that we don't even know about that may come out in a month from now, you should second guess it before you get it. You may say it has videos, it has music, it has email, which that alone is an issue, as you know, but if he says it just has music, just has videos, you should probably do your own research and just double check what exactly it has on there that your child is just kind of sliding under the rug and not mentioning. It's best to communicate with your child. Again, there is no... You can get the best filters. You can get filters that the Department of Defense doesn't even have yet. And it won't help, because your child can easily get a job somewhere for $10 an hour, and in 10 hours he has $100. $100 he buys himself a tablet or anything else. The HP tablet just went on for $100. He has that tablet, he goes to Starbucks, and he has Wi-Fi. So there is no solution to this. The best solution is to get into it, communicate with your children, take time to discuss with them, explain to them what the dangers of the internet is. It's not even just a matter of uncensored content. It's also a matter of cyberbullying and suicidal matters and meeting up with people. You'd be 12 years old and he's talking. Your child's talking to somebody who's 40 who claims they're 13, and the next day they're meeting up, and then that 40-year-old is who knows what with your child. So it's not even just a matter of uncensored content. It's also a matter of many other dangers. You can set some ground rules. If your child is, let's call it, he's in college and he's 18, or something to that, or even in high school, and they have to have access to certain websites for homework, such as Wikipedia and many other education websites, you can set some ground rules where the child comes home, for example, at 5 o'clock, eats supper at 6, you can say, okay, I'm giving you access between 6 and 8, which again, you can set the parental controls of the filtering program, even of just your computer, to allow the child to only be on there from 6 and until 8 o'clock, and then again, to only be able to go on those sites that they need, such as Wikipedia and so forth and so on. And you need to, of course, understand their needs, because as, again, someone mentioned before me, they will find their way onto that internet. So the best thing is to work together, come up with what they need, set some rules, understand their needs, whether it's homework, whether it's they're working, and get that together, and then put that into that filtering software, program it, you know, between 6 and 8, these sites, not those sites, and so on and so forth. And of course, you have to be reasonable with them, because if they don't get what they want, they'll find it somewhere else. Now, again, as I mentioned before, it's very important your computer not be in a basement or in a bedroom, especially a child's bedroom. You may think a living room is a bad idea to have a computer because all your neighbors can see it, but it's actually a great place to have it, or in a kitchen, or in a living room, a dining room. These are all fantastic places to have it because it's the most trafficked area in your house. Your child is almost guaranteed not to do anything wrong on that computer. If it's almost likely someone's going to open the door in 2 seconds and see them doing something. That's probably the best spot to put it. If you put it in a bedroom or in a basement or in any secluded area, an attic, the worst of the worst, then there's no way for you to know what's going on. So now another thing is you have to try to explain to them and educate them on how to use the internet. So if you decide to give them access to certain sites, you need to understand that certain sites, almost all sites, will ask them for personal information, especially the first of all, your name, okay, your address, your phone number, your date of birth, social security. Then they'll say, oh yeah, I have to buy something for school, a book, I need a credit card. And all of a sudden, this site is some kind of scam site, and the next 2 minutes, you have raked up credit card charges on your card, and they have your address, and they're coming down to your house, and who knows what else. Your children have to understand, you don't just give out your personal information online, and people that you have no idea who's on the other end is receiving that information. Now, if your child does have to have an email account or any account online, it's best to have it in your name so you have access to it. Set an account in your name, you have the password, you store the password, you advise your child you have the password so they're aware that you may be monitoring it from time to time. And of course, you're doing it for all their own safety purposes, you're not doing it because you're trying to spy on them. And when you have those passwords, you can from time to time, periodically decide to go out and check up and see what is going on in these accounts and make sure that they're safe and there's nothing that you're not aware of. At all times. And like I just mentioned, you should know your child's passwords, the screen names. If your child has to have a social networking account such as Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, you name it. There's a million of them out there. It's best to know all their information to their accounts so you can constantly keep monitoring them at all times. Now, if you're going to use a filter, if you decide you do need to have access or you need to have internet in your home, you will have most likely different children at different ages. So you can have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and so forth. So you can program the filtering system to meet those needs. So your 16-year-old has to have more access because they're in college or in high school. So you'll set them to be able to go to these and these sites and these categories of those sites. Now your 8-year-old, of course, doesn't need that kind of access. They only need access to other sites, let's say a gaming site or some kind of other video site. And you can program the filtering system to allow all that to work effectively. You can filter, you can blacken out. Also, there's also a situation where your child may only need access to a certain site. Let's call it 3 or 4 sites. And you know what those 3 or 4 sites are. So it's something called whitelisting. It's kind of a subcategory of filtering, which is where you can program the filtering, so the software, to only allow them to have access to those 2, 3, or 4 sites. So, for example, which is what I mentioned later on, your child, if you give them access to, let's call it, almost all sites, if you block certain ones, because they'll get YouTube and Facebook and so forth, your child will then go continue surfing the web to see what else is out there. What is it that I can get and see on the internet? So in reverse, you kind of do reverse ecology, and you set it to only allow the sites that they need access to. So such as YouTube, if they need access to YouTube, or if they need access to Gmail for an email account because they're emailing the professor in college or something, you can actually program the software to do that. So they'll have access to just to those sites and nothing else. Now, through the filtering system, you can also set time restrictions. So there's no reason why your child has to be on the computer at 2 a.m. So you can program it to only allow the child on between 5 p.m. when they come home until 8 p.m. at night, or 9 or 10, whatever the case is in that specific child. And now the filtering system will give you activity logs. So for example, a lot of kids today are very savvy, and they know that their parent can go onto the computer and go onto the internet, onto the browser, and see the history, see what sites they've gone to, what searches they've done on Google and other search engine sites. So if they go ahead and they delete it because they're that savvy enough, the filtering system will work over that and will keep record of that. So by you logging into your filtering account, you'll be able to see all the sites they've gone to, whether they deleted it or not. You'll be able to see what they've searched, what time they've done it. It'll give you very detailed reports on everything, what chat sessions they've had, if they've gone on to some kind of instant messenger site to chat with another person on the other end. You can see if the site they've gone to has been blocked. And it'll actually send you an email. So if you have an email account, as soon as your child goes to a site that's considered a blacklisted site, that's what they call it, a blacklisted site, it'll send you an alert immediately informing you that your child has gone onto the site. So here's kind of a blurry picture. This is an example of how your child, how your child would actually see the history. And right there, very simply, your child can click on, you can't see it's blurred out, but your child can click on internet options, click on delete history, and then all of a sudden, you're checking the history and there's nothing there. So that is what the filtering system can do for you. It'll keep all those files and all that history in there, and you'll know exactly what is going on, whether it's been compromised or whether it hasn't. This is kind of situations where you should be a little bit concerned. If your child is spending more and more time on the internet, more than, assuming it was typically an hour, now all of a sudden it's 5 hours, it's probably a reason why you should kind of get your alert a little heightened. If for example, every time you walk into the room, your child puts away their iPod Touch or their PSP, or if they're actually sitting by the computer and they quickly close whatever window they're looking at, it's probably a reason why you should be a little bit concerned. There's probably something going on there that they don't want you to see, and that's probably inappropriate. If your child starts using certain languages, it's also probably something that should heighten your alert a little bit. And there's many other things there that should concern you. And of course, your child, you know your child best, so you'll know what it is that's kind of setting up an alert for them. And just before we go into the filtering option for an iPod Touch, these are kind of all the things you can do with an iPod Touch. So in case you weren't savvy and educated in it, as I'm sure you know, there's videos on it, and the videos can be anything, whether it's videos of the Rebbe or videos of you name it. It could be anything that they could have picked up from either a friend or they could have downloaded. They can get any kind of videos, any kind of rating videos, rated R, rated X, you name it. They can get any video on iPod Touch all through by means of the internet, which is done through Wi-Fi, which is all free. So it's not no kind of deterrent there. They could be sitting in their bed, in their bedroom, in your apartment building, in your house, and your next door neighbor has free Wi-Fi. All you got to do is go to Wi-Fi, click on that, And within 3-4 seconds, probably, it's probably the maximum that will take them to actually be on the internet, and that's it, they're on the World Wide Web. But of course, there's also access to email, IM, which is Instant Messenger, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter. This is all one of the most popular selling device today, which is the iPod Touch. So if your child is begging you for it, you might want to second guess getting it. Now for the iPod Touch, again, the picture is blurry, it's not such a high-rise projector, but if you have an iPod Touch, an iPad, an iPhone, they're all in the same category. They all work on the same kind of software, so they all have the same solutions for them. There's something called K9 Internet Builder. This is the best solution that we currently have available. Every day they're coming out with new ones and more advanced ones, but at the present time, this is the best solution for it. It's kind of not the most easiest to work with, but I kind of sum it out for you, so it shouldn't be so complicated. All you have to do is just go onto the App Store on the iPod and download the K9. Now, once you download it and it's installed, you kind of have to change some settings on there, which is actually not just for the internet, but also other things, and I'll show you what you can do with that in a second. Again, it's not so clear, but I'll just talk you through it. You go to Settings, and you go to General, and then you go to what's called Restrictions on the iPod Touch. It'll prompt you, if you'll click on Enable Restrictions, it'll prompt you to enter a 4-digit password. Very important, don't set your password to your house address. The house address is 12405. Don't set it 12405. The first thing your child's going to guess, if you want to get in there, is 12405. If your house number is 854-4040, your child's going to guess 4040. Don't try those things. Don't try your date of birth. If you were born in 1979, he's going to guess 1979. Most likely he knows your date of birth if you didn't think he did. And other kind of things like that, all these general things that are related to you, don't pick anything related to you. Your child will guess it, they will enter the password, they will be in there. The next time you're actually looking at that iPod, it's going to be probably in 6-8 months, if that is that case even, and you'll never know that they actually overrided any of your settings that you've done. So don't use a password that's totally unrelevant to you, something that no one can guess that knows you. So you left the password and not ask you, as always, whenever you enter a password, to do it twice, to just confirm it. And then you'll have some options there. The most important option at this point, if you're going to be installing this filter, is to disable Safari. Now, again, this is only talking about the case where you need to have internet on the iPod Touch, if your child needs to have internet. If your child doesn't have to have internet, you don't need to download the filter. If you want to disable the internet, which is probably a very good idea, that the Wi-Fi shouldn't help them, but if they get access to Wi-Fi, is to just disable the Safari. If you disable the Safari, they can't get onto the browser, which means they can't get onto the internet. However, they could still use a different browser by going into the App Store. Right. You can get any app in the App Store, such as browsers. There are many free browsers available, and you cannot use a credit card for any of this, believe it or not. So you would probably want to disable installing any apps. So there's two things you want to disable, the Safari and apps. If you do these two things that I just told you, you'll probably be safe for the time being. By getting your child an iPod Touch. Again, every single day, technology is getting ahead of us and advancing, so I can't guarantee anything. But at the time, at the present time, your child has an iPod Touch and you want to prevent it, you should do that, what I just said. You should enable the restrictions, block Safari, which is Internet Explorer, on a computer. If you have a regular computer, it's the same thing. On the settings, you go into the iPod Touch, you click Settings, which you'll see on the main screen, call it a screen port, and you'll click on General, and then you'll click on Restrictions, and it'll prompt you for a password. Like I mentioned, don't enter a very general password related to you, enter something that no one is familiar with, that knows you, and you'll click on the Off button for two things, Safari and installing apps. And at that point, they won't be able to go on the internet or install any further apps, which will allow them to go on the internet. And of course, they may complain to you, well, I can't install any free apps that I saw that were really cool, and games like that, but you know, it's kind of, you have to, you know, sacrifice a little bit over there. You could disable for 2 seconds, let them install something that you know is clean, and then block it again if you want to work with them. If they need it, that's fine. And then you just re-block it right after. They still have access to that application as long as it doesn't require internet. If it requires internet, well, then you have to get them Safari. They could still get onto it with the Wi-Fi. You don't have to have Safari. It's a SERP browser.
There's no way to disable the Wi-Fi.
There's no way to disable it. If you want, you can go to some kind of a technician, open it up, maybe you can take out a chip. No? You tried it? If you, I'm sorry again.
Please hold the questions till afterwards, if the tablet will be staying on.
You can also actually block, if your child doesn't, if you want to let them have seen movies. Now there are most movies that you download or you get today on an iPod or anything, it has a rating in it, it's embedded in it that you don't know about. So
movie may be rated, let's say, something that you're okay with, let's say rated G, the general audience. So you can set the iPod to be programmed to only allow certain ratings, such as G or PG-13, but anything above PG-13 should not be allowed, and then if the child puts it on the iPod, they'll just say this is not an appropriate content for this device, and we're allowed to do it. Some kind of error message will pop up. But again, there are a lot of movies that are gotten from different sources, and not from, we'll call it the iTunes store and other legal sites, and those do not have ratings involved in them, and the software, the iPod Touch, will not pick up on that and allow them to play it. So it's also compromised at that point. Go to the next slide. Then at that point, once you change those settings, you can just click the done button. Make sure you click the done button. If you don't click the done button, it won't save your settings. Done is the same thing as called save settings. If you don't click that, and by mistake you just press something else, a back button or something, most likely your settings weren't saved, and everything was just not done. Also, something very important, a lot of times, you may set a setting in a filter. For example, I don't want my child to be able to go to Facebook, and Facebook is spelled, as we all know, facebook.com. You may by mistake type one O or two O's or three O's. You may type one letter off. The software will not pick up on that, and instead, it'll allow the site to go through. Also, very important, a lot of times people will block by mistake .com instead of .org. And there are a lot of sites out there that trick you. If you go, let's say, to certain sites, I'll give you an example. I don't want to give you an actual example. I don't give you ideas. But if you go to, let's say, nyc.com, that's the government site, or nyccert.com, but if you type in nyc.org, not that was the exact case, but cases like that, it'll go to a site that's misleading. It's actually an adult content site, and it's intentional to pull you there, because they assume that maybe some people will actually do that and type in wrong. So that's also an important thing to be aware of. Now, for Android, which is also a very popular device today, most of your children probably have an Android cell phone. Whether you know what Android is or you don't know what it is, they must likely have it. Any half-decent cell phone today runs either on Android or many other smartphones and software platforms. And there's a solution for this at the current time. It's called Mobile Security Trend Micro. If your child has an Android, if you're not sure, you might want to check out your child's phone tonight and find out what they do have. If they have an Android, then you can go to the Android market and just do a search for Mobile Security Trend Micro, install it. It's all free. Everything I'm telling you is all free. There is no cost to any of this. And it's not a trial either. It's completely free. Once you download it, it'll walk you through the steps to set it up for your child. You may want to block certain sites. You may want to leave certain sites open. You may want to block certain categories. You don't have to know the sites you want to block. You can block by category. So you can block violence, crime, social networking, email. You can block it by categories. If you're not sure what sites you do want to block, what sites you don't want to block, you can choose those options as well. And this is something for an Android app block, which doesn't come in as with the iPod did, which I just showed you. So if you want to block certain apps, such as the email app, or a movie app, or the market app that download any further applications, you can install this Android app block. And for BlackBerrys, there's no simple solution here for BlackBerrys. The only solution available right now is something called JNet Mobile. I'm not sure anybody has heard of JNet. So JNet has come out with a solution called JNet Mobile. It's for BlackBerry. It's not free. You do need to have an enterprise data plan for it. So most people at BlackBerry, they have a standard data plan, which is called BIS, B-I-S, which stands for BlackBerry Internet Service. It's $30 a month. If you want to have a filter software on your BlackBerry at the current time, you need to get what's called JNet Mobile, and it costs it'll make you change your data plan to $45 a month, and then pay JNet about $6 a month. So it'll hike up your rate a little bit, but that is the only solution at the current time. Here are certain protocols you might want to be aware of. You may all of a sudden say, well, last night I set up this this parental controls or this filter that I was told to download and install, and all of a sudden today my child got onto the internet. Now again, there's many ways that children can get around the filter. The filter is not going to solve, it is by no means going to solve the problems, and it's not a solution to an end. But it is, again, like a person said, a preventative. So your child may be savvy enough to realize that if he goes over to the modem or the router and just take a pin and reset it, he'll now be able to get access to that and override anything that you have just done. And then I'll now have access to everything. So it's very important that if you have a router or a modem or anything that can be password protected, you either have a password, and if you don't have it, and if you have a password, again, make sure it's something your child will not guess. If your child can guess the password, and you won't even know that he guessed it because he hasn't changed it, because he has no reason to change it. So in the meantime, you're sitting there thinking you're protected, your child is passive, without you knowing it, he's constantly going in and changing settings and doing things you'll never be aware of. Also, it's very important that if he has his own user account, or even your user account on the computer, everyone has an account that you click on the computer, it'll say either administrator or admin or your name or your wife's name or your child's name. It's very important to make sure whatever way your child is logging into a computer is not an administrative account, it's a standard user account. If you have a Windows computer, which most of us do, so I'll use Windows as an example, it's called a standard user account, which can be changed in the settings, in the user account settings. And you want to make sure they're standard users. This way, they do not have administrative privileges and access to change things as an administrator. Only you should have that access. Only a parent should have that access. Now, same thing. Maybe you may have decided. You may have said, you know, I just set up this whole filter software, and now all of a sudden, my child is going to sites that are inappropriate. How to get there? So I mentioned this earlier. You may have set the filter up, and you may have set it up properly, but now. You may have, this filter doesn't pick up on everything, so there are a lot of sites that are still accessible, and you're not aware of them. So if you can set up a whitelist where you just allow them to go to certain sites and not kind of give them a free ride where you have to try to follow them and pick up on that. So it's better to set up a whitelist where you'll just give them access to 3 or 4 sites, or 10 sites, or even 20 sites. It's kind of unlimited, as many as they need, but as opposed to the over 1 trillion sites that are available, it's a lot more, probably a lot more preventative in that matter. And this is just a kind of a tip for you if you're sending passwords up. If you have a wireless router, or you have a computer, or if you have any kind of online accounts that your child needs access to, you don't want to set your password to something that's relative to you. So you probably want to pick something that's not relative. What you could do is, since it's not a bad idea, it's a good tip, is you could pick on something that works well for you. In this case, I'm giving you just an example. I graduated Grant High School and then in 1981. So you can pick the first letter of each one, IGHI1981. And then for each account that you have, so let's say it's a Google account, you put a G before it for Google, and you always know your password the same, the G before it for Google. If it's Facebook, you know it's an F before it for Facebook. If it's Gmail, again, Gmail, Google are linked together. If it's Yahoo, you have a Y before it. This way, if your child does guess one password, most people have the same password for all their accounts. So if your child guesses that password, you're compromising all of your accounts. So if you want to have something a little different in each one, but then again, you're going to forget them and get confused. So the best thing is to just put one letter before it, which is relative to that account. So if it's Google, it's G, it's Facebook, it's F. And then, again, you may ask, how did your child bypass settings of your filters and how they get into it. So it's very important that you properly set it up and that you make sure you don't miss anything. And if your child does have access to your filter, they will be able to change any settings. So if you're on the computer now and you're logged into your filter account, or even your own account that has no filter on it because you only put on your child's user account on the computer, compromise everything because your child is now, you walk, all of a sudden the phone rings, you get up, and now the oven starts boiling, to the wife, she runs to that, and the account's left unlogged out. The child now has free ride to go into your account, change any settings they want. If the filter account is still locked in, which probably isn't because you probably haven't logged out, they're able to change any settings, and you'll never know about it unless you monitor it the whole time. So there's two kinds of solutions. There's something called monitoring software and something called a filter software. If you can't have a filter software for whatever reason, if you're not able to predict what sites you'll need, it's very wise to have what's called a monitoring software, which will basically be installed on your computer, or even your cell phone, or your tablet, your iPod, your PSP, and you'll set it up. You link to a friend of yours, someone that you're embarrassed that they don't know you go to the sites. It has to be someone that they didn't care if they would know about it. Maybe it would be the person's mother, or the person's father, the person's rabbi or somebody. And basically, if they ever go to a site that's not appropriate, the software will automatically pick up on it and send an email immediately to that person that's monitoring it, and they'll be aware of it. And you're constantly knowing, your child's constantly knowing that they're getting this email, if they go to that site, and that will kind of be a deterrent for them not to go to that site. So for a computer, or whether it's a Windows or a Mac, which is an Apple computer, those who don't know, there's something called WebKhadr, which is a solution for it. Again, it's free. You can go to WebKhadr, actually it's $4 a month. You can go to webkhadr.org, and you can set that up. It's pretty simple. For a BlackBerry, there's something called SpectreSoft, which can be used for a BlackBerry. For Android, there's something called Mobicel. For iPod Touch, iPad, and iPhone, again, you can use the WebKhadr. Now, for filters, there's two options. There's a free option, there's a cost option. For Windows and a Mac, the most profound option at this point in time is something called Norton Minder. It was kind of just replaced by K9. K9 had a lot of glitches in it and a lot of inconveniences in it, and Norton Minder made it a lot simpler for many different reasons, such as, for example, if your child calls you up while you're at work and it says, well, you know, I need to go to a certain site, and the teacher just told me I have to go to Wikipedia.org, and you had blocked it because you hadn't predicted that. And so typically, with a normal filtering system, you'd have to get onto that computer, whether it's in your house or whether it's remotely, and change that setting so you can go to that website. In order to mind it, you can control everything remotely. You can control it either from your work, any computer, whether it's at work or whether anywhere in the world, even if you're in Israel, as long as you have internet, you can control it from your Android, from your cell phone, from your BlackBerry, from your iPhone, any kind of device you have. You can just log into your account. You can control it completely, your full access to control. You can change the time restrictions. You can change the filtering settings. You can change what sites you can go to. You can add certain sites you can go to.